our last look at the book of Job. We've spent 3 weeks here, and this will conclude our study, a brief study that we've had on this very important book. Next week, we are going to move into the book of Psalms, and it's a large book. There's a lot of powerful truth there. And the title of the message next Sunday is Why Study the Book of Psalms? And I think you'll be challenged to read through the Book of Psalms after we have had the opening study next week on this very important book. However, this morning, our study is, the title of my message is this: If God is so good, why do I hurt? If God is so good, why do I hurt? I've had people on various occasions address this very matter to me. And therefore, it is a very, very important topic that we need to spend some time reflecting upon. Because if someone hasn't asked you that question, they probably will. And the big thing is, how will you answer when they ask it? Of all the questions that trouble many today, none are greater than the opening question I've just posed for you this morning. Sometimes it's asked in other ways. Maybe this is the way it's been mentioned to you. Why is there so much suffering in this world? Why is there? Why do people have to suffer? Why do people go through suffering? Why is suffering taking place in our world? Or if God really has the power to stop human suffering, why doesn't He use that power? I'm sure you've thought about that question. I'm sure you've had to grapple with it along life's pathway at some point or another in your life. The question before us also focuses on another mystery. And the mystery is this: the connection between God's goodness and our pain. Between God's goodness and our pain. Nowhere in the Bible do we find more that is addressed on this topic than is found here in this book that we have been studying in an overview over the last couple of weeks, the book of Job. In the midst of Job's intense suffering, we discover that he makes a profound declaration. And that declaration is that he declares his faith in God despite what he's going through and all the trials and tests of life that have come his way. For centuries, many people have been comforted by his words when they have had to spend time in the furnace of suffering. Some of you may be in the furnace right now, maybe going through some troubling times, difficult situations, pain that you may be suffering. Others may have just come out of it. You've experienced God's touch and you're feeling a lot better and you're doing just great. And still others will be there sooner or later. Here's Job's very simple statement that sums up an enormous amount of spiritual truth. I want you to listen to it. It's Job 23, look in your Bibles, in verse 10. Job 23 and verse 10. He, referring to God, knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. What a powerful statement that is. I want you to think about it. I want you to wrestle with that verse of scripture in your mind and relate it to maybe what you're going through as an individual. From these words, I would call your attention to five important truths. You may want to write them down. which if properly understood will help you hang on to your faith while you're living in the furnace of suffering, whatever form that may be taking for you as an individual. Number one, God sees you. We sang about that, didn't we? In the choruses this morning. God sees you even though you can't see him. Job begins by affirming his confidence that God sees him in all of his pain. He says, he knows the way I take. He knows what I'm going through right now. He knows it. It's not an uncommon experience for believers to lose their conscious sense of God's presence during some of the darker moments of life. Such a person wonders where God is when he's walking through the, say, for example, the pain of divorce or the crushing burden of having his friends turn on him or the heartbreak of watching a loved one die. Even the Lord Jesus, remember, cried out from the cross these words. It's found in Mark 15:34, or what he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember those words? So it's not wrong to feel that way. You have not sinned just because you have lost the sense of God's presence because of the deep valley you're going through. Job said, in effect, I've got a case to present to the Lord if only I could find him. I've looked high and low for God, but I can't find him anywhere. I've searched in every direction, but he's nowhere to be found. And then Job rose to a higher level of faith, and he come to this place of declaring, I can't see him, but it doesn't matter, because I know he sees me. He sees me. Someone said it this way, God's hand is invisible, but he has an all-seeing eye. He has an all-seeing eye. Do you recall the story of Hagar? Hagar, who fled from the household of Abraham and Sarah. She was pregnant and she was all alone. She was wandering in a barren desert. And the Lord found her near a spring and told her to go back to Abraham and Sarah. You remember that? He also told her to name her son Ishmael. You know what the word Ishmael means? God hears. God hears. Which means God heard all about her and knew all about her misery. She replied, it's interesting how she replied, with one of the most wonderful statements that's found in all of the Old Testament. It's found in Genesis 16 and verse 13, where it says, you are the God who sees me. That really clicked in. That really touched her heart. You see, when she did that, she actually gave God a name. We know there's a number of names given for God. Here's the one that she gave to God, Elroy, which means in Hebrew, the God who sees me. Remember to call on that name when you're going through deep trials. Elroy, the God who sees. You may not see him, but he sees you. He knows what you're going through. And listen, here's something to remember. Spiritual growth, listen, spiritual growth is a journey. It's not a destination. Spiritual growth is a journey, but it is not a destination. Notice how Job puts it. When he has tried me, I want you to notice the pronoun Job uses here. When he has tried me. You see, Job understood that God was behind his sufferings. You may say that was all of Satan's doings. But that's not the whole truth. As we observed a couple of weeks ago, it was God who brought up Job's name in the first place when he asked Satan in Job chapter 1 verse 8, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Did you consider it? And it was God, listen, who set the limits on how far Satan could go in tormenting Job. He didn't have free rein. He couldn't do whatever he wanted. He was restricted by God. That's why Job kept saying, "I want to talk to God face to face about all of this." Satan may have started it, but God set the rules of the game. "When he has tried me," speaks to the fact that suffering is a part of God's process to bring us to spiritual maturity. I want you to write it down in big letters. We all have to do some furnace time sooner or later. We all have to do some furnace time sooner or later. You say, "But it's hot in there." You're right about that. You say, "It hurts." Sure does. "It seems to last forever." That's definitely how it feels inside the furnace of suffering. You say, "I don't like it there." And neither do I when I've had to go through it. But none of those objections matter in the long run. What is God trying to do when he allows his children to go through hard trials and deep suffering? There are several answers to that question. You may want to write them down as well. Number one, first, God may use it to purge a person from sin. Sometimes that's the reason behind it. Not always. Many times it is not, but sometimes it is, the purging of sin. Second, God uses suffering to test our faith. That's a big one. So when your faith is tested, didn't say that it won't be tested, it's when your faith, there's going to come a time when your faith is tested, every single one of us. Will you still obey God in the darkness? That's the big question. Will you serve God when things aren't going your way? Will you hold on to the truth when you feel like giving up? Third, God uses times of difficulty in order to sometimes humble us. Sometimes we need to be humbled. When things are going well, we may have a tendency to get puffed up about our accomplishments. But let the darkness fall and it tends to bring us on our knees, doesn't it? And crying out to God. And fourth, God definitely uses hard times for personal ministry preparation. That's a big one. What does the Bible say? He comforts us. Why? So that we may comfort others. That may be why you're going through what you're going through. So you can comfort someone else. That he's going to bring along your pathway that needs that encouragement. I know many Christians whose greatest ministry is being able to share with others who are hurting. Sharing how God helped them through a time of deep crisis gives us wonderful opportunity to share what God has done and how he's helped us through. Number five, I believe God uses hard times to prepare us for a new understanding of his character. It's in the furnace that we discover some new characteristics and qualities of God that we may never have known before about him. These are five examples then of how we grow and how we develop spiritually. They're not the destination, remember, but they're part of the journey that we go on here in this life. Your trials, in that furnace of suffering, you'll also need to remember that your trials will not last forever. So what do you need to do? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Job says, "I will come forth as gold." Looking back on Job's situation from our position, we may not see how great a statement of faith this really was. Job had lost everything. He lost his property. He lost his position in the community. He lost his children. He even lost his health. His wife even turned against him when she encouraged him to curse God and die. Here's this man, listen, sitting on an ash heap, scraping his sores with pieces of broken pottery. He's broken. He's really suffering a lot. Yet in the midst of his pain, notice what he declares. I will come forth as gold. You say, how can this be? You see, he saw something his three friends who came for counsel him didn't know. In fact, they gave him bad counsel. He understood with the eye of faith that what God was doing had a purpose. All these terrible things were not meant to destroy him, but in the end to improve him. We may rightly wonder how tragedy can improve a person. When God wants to improve a person spiritually, he will often put him through some great trials. Job compared it to the process of refining gold. I find that interesting. Even though this took place thousands of years ago, the basic process has hardly changed at all. You take, for example, chunks of stone flecked with tiny bits of gold, and you put them in a hot furnace. The heat, what will it do? It'll cause the stones and the dirt to melt and rise to the surface, where they are skimmed off so that the only thing left is pure gold. It obviously takes enormous heat to do that. But it's worth it because in the end, what do you have? Pure gold. Unmixed with any impurities. Something like that is at work in your own life through the trials that you may have to endure. You see, the hotter the fire, the more the pain, but the quicker the gold comes forth. In the end, you will be both approved and improved by God as you, in faith, continue to hang on to Him and trust Him. Your trials are not a waste and not wasted, nor are they random acts of fate. None of that. This may not seem very comforting when you're inside the furnace of suffering. If that's where you are this morning, there is little I can say that will maybe help you. Even for me, to promise that it won't last forever may seem empty when the flames are leaping all around you. I can't tell you when your trial will come to an end. But listen, I do know this much. He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. You can't rush Him, but He's never late either. When the appointed time has come, the fierce heat will dissipate, and the gold of tested character will come forth in your life. But what about those people whose trials never end in this life? I must admit that I have known some very fine people whose whole life has seemed to be one heartbreak after another. And my heart goes out to them. When you see a person in such a situation, don't first think that they must be very carnal and God is punishing them in some way. That may not be the case at all. Instead, think of it to yourself. And I like to think of it this way. There must be a lot of gold there. There must be a lot of gold there. Here's another piece of good news. For those who know Jesus Christ, death is the end of all suffering. God has an eternity to set right what has gone wrong. That's why, friends, the Apostle Paul could say in Romans 8:18, the pain that you have been feeling cannot begin to compare with the joy that is going to come your way. It's coming. Whether you live or die, if you're a Christian, Your trials will not last forever. A fourth thing to remember as you live in this furnace of suffering is this. Faith is a conscious choice to obey God in spite of all of your circumstances. You see, faith means obeying God even when all my questions are not answered. Because they won't always be answered. Note how Job states his case in Job 23:12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You see, here's a man in dire straits, far worse than maybe most of us will ever be in. In the midst of his pain, he makes a bold declaration. He said, I'm still serving the Lord. As bad as it has been, nothing can cause me to turn away from God. At this point, I ask one simple question. Where does that kind of faith come from? To me, that's a crucial question. Because as I think about it, I'm not so sure that I would be as strong as Job under similar circumstances that he had to go through. How does a person stay strong when life tumbles in all around him? Well, after some years of thinking about this question, because it's been raised in my thinking on many, many different occasions, I concluded that the people who survive great trials understand that, here it is, faith isn't a feeling, it's a choice. Faith isn't a feeling, it's a choice to trust God, even when the road ahead seems so uncertain. Faith is a conscious moment-by-moment choice. More specifically, such a person also understands that faith is not based on how you feel at any given moment. For years, I tended to view faith as an emotion. If I felt good, if things were going well for me, if I found myself in a great worship service, then I discovered that faith was very easy. There's only one problem with that concept. It won't work when you don't feel good or things aren't going well or your friends have turned against you. Feeling-based faith won't cut it when life crashes in on every side. In those moments of desperation, you see, you've got a choice to make. It's exactly the same one that Job had to make. He said, my feet have followed his steps and I have not turned aside. You know, I'm sure Job didn't feel like following God after all the tragedies that he had had to endure. But he did it anyway. That's why he survived, and that's why we still talk about him today. That's why we like to read the book of Job. Faith comes in many different varieties, but the faith that wins in the end is faith that chooses to obey God in spite of the outward circumstances that we may be going through. There's one final secret of Job's steadfast faith in the furnace of suffering. It's in Job 23:13. Job declares concerning the Lord, but he stands alone, and who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. That brings us once again to the first rule of spiritual life. He is God, and we're not. Until we fully grasp that, we're going to be unhappy because we'll end up fighting against God when we go through the difficult waters. Many are unhappy today because they're fighting God at the point of his sovereignty. They have never surrendered their agenda to his control. So what should you do when you find yourself in the furnace? Number one, seek a quiet heart. Ask God, give me a quiet heart. That's so needed when we're going through the suffering. Our emotions are all affected, and we're going through a lot of challenges in our life. We need a quiet heart. Number two, listen for God's voice. He'll speak through his word to you. Look for God's fingerprints. And number four, stay faithful to God no matter what. Above all, don't take matters into your own hands. That only makes things worse. I close with this thought. God has wonderful things to teach you in the furnace, if only you will listen and learn. We'll all do some furnace time because that's part of God's plan for our spiritual growth. You can't escape it. But you can use it for your own spiritual improvement. And that brings me to the original question. If God is good, why do I hurt? Listen, I think the first part of that question is the key to the whole thing. Is God really good? Time and time again, Sunday morning, when the announcement time comes, what do we say? Roger starts it, doesn't he? God is good. And then we respond all the time. God is good. You see, more and more I am convinced that this is the fundamental question of life. Is God good?
All the time.
Can God be trusted?
All the time.
Can He be trusted to do what's right?
All the time.
If the answer is yes, and I've heard some affirmations here, then we can face the worst that life has to offer. But if the answer is no, then we're no better off than the people who have no faith at all. In fact, if the answer is no, or if we're not sure, then we really don't have a lot of faith, do we? Sometimes we may choose to believe because of what we see. On other occasions, we'll believe in spite of what we can see. As I look at the world around me, many things remain mysterious and unanswerable. But if God is not good, then nothing at all makes sense. Isn't that true? Nothing at all makes sense. When we hurt, we really have but two choices. We can hurt with God, or we can hurt without Him. If we are hurting today, you may feel as if you have come to the end of your endurance. I pray that you will hang on to the Lord. Because if you'll turn away from Him, things can only get worse. Pioneer missionary J. Hudson Taylor founded the China Inland Mission 100 years ago during the terrible days of the Boxer Revolution, when missionaries were being captured and killed. He went through such agony of soul that he could not even pray. Writing in his journal, he summarized his spiritual condition this way. When I cannot read, when I cannot think, when I cannot even pray, I can trust. Sometimes we won't be able to focus our thoughts on God at all. There may be times when we'll not even be able to pray. But in those moments when we can't do anything else, we can still trust in the loving purposes of our Heavenly Father. So let your faith be bigger than your fears. No one knows what a day may bring, but remember, nothing can happen to us except what first passes through the hands of God. If your way is dark, keep on believing. When your first furnace time is over, you will come forth as gold as you continue to lean and trust on Him. I want us to sing in closing a chorus that reminds us of that very truth. Shout to the north. What? Jesus is Lord of all. No matter what you're going through, He can see you through. Hang on. He will see you through.